They are such a blessing, and it's great to have them plugged back in. They took a little breather there, but Danny is just such a blessing to us. So many times we did street evangelism, and ever since the first time I met this kid, I'm thinking, man, he is so bold and confident. If any of you know Danny, he has no problem walking up to anyone and just sharing the gospel, and it's so much fun going out there with him. So it's amazing because, you know, Turkey used to be known as the missionary's graveyard. In other words, you could live your whole life, like some people were there decades upon decades being a missionary, and no one comes to Jesus. But people who are serving in Turkey now are seeing a real breaking. The wall is breaking down of that spiritual blindness, and you're really seeing people coming to Jesus. They're dreaming about Jesus, and there's a great awakening coming there. So it's awesome. And part of it, I believe, is also due to that Syrian refugee infiltration and the fact that many Syrians are coming to Jesus too. So it's awesome. So let's pray for him. Also, I wanted to mention before we do pray, that Jake is back all the way from Vietnam. Where are you, Jake? Give a little wave. Oh, right, all the way down here, yeah. And so he's going to be sharing a little bit next week about how that went, and it's exciting. If you saw that film of him riding on an elephant through the water to get to the village, that's pretty cool. So we're going to be hearing about that. And next week we're also going to be praying for Sarah because she leaves the following week for Israel. So what's that? The next day, yeah. So, Sarah, are you here? There she is. So, looking forward to praying for you and just sending you off. And I did want to mention the men's breakfast was awesome. You got to go to the next one. It was a great time, really deep stuff, and awesome. So, Ed, you do a great job with that men's breakfast. So, let's pray for Danny. Let's pray for this morning because I really believe that the power of God really wants to move us this morning, you know? I believe all of us need something from God today, you know? None of us have arrived. All of us want. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I don't know about you. You know, it says godliness and contentment is great gain. I want great gain, but I need more godliness. I just want more of God in me, don't you? And so I believe all of us are very needy this morning for something. So we're going to pray that God really shows up in a powerful way and removes whatever scales we have on our eyes so that we could truly see Jesus in our lives and say, yeah, I'm going where he's going. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that this morning there's something special that's going to happen in here this morning because you are here. Where two or more are gathered, there you are in our midst. So you are right here, Lord God. We've come to meet you. So, Lord God, please speak through the Spirit into our hearts something that we need to know about ourselves and about you this morning so you can break down every barrier, Lord God, so that you could remove anything that we've put between us and you and you can really lead us, Lord God, in a new and revived and abundant life. So, Lord God, we want great gain this morning. We're not satisfied where we're at. We want more. So, Lord God, we want to plead for it this morning. And, Lord, we thank you for Danny, Lord God. What an inspiration to us all. And, Lord God, just that you've brought him there, Lord, for such a time as this. And being a true leader, and even in amongst of some of his team that aren't so passionate as he is, that are satisfied with where they're at. And Danny is pushing forward and being a pioneer to truly break through the complacency of even missionaries to reach the lost. So we thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're looking at Mark chapter 10. We're finishing Mark chapter 10, and we're starting in verse 46. But before we do, today we're going to talk about the fact that we walk by faith, not by sight. You know? The world walks by sight, don't they? Seeing is believing, and they respond to what they see. And yet the believer walks by faith, not by sight, because that's how we please God. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him believes that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Don't you want to be rewarded by God? You know, he rewards us because we encounter him with faith. And so he wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in what we see around the world, and it can grip us and either cause us to give up in a sense, or it can cause us to be fearful. It can cause us to be angry at whatever we see. But when we believe what we know about God to be true and why he's placed you and I here on this planet at this time and season to do something for him, to bring the kingdom of God, which is our church's missionary statement, he truly has a purpose for us right now. But we have to walk and live. By the way, the word walk and live are used in the same way in the Greek. He wants us to live by faith, you know, because when we live by faith, we can prove the will of God. You know, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If we're not seeing things through the faith of God, there's no way for us to transform and change things in this world, right? Because we're merely responding to what we see. We're merely adapting to what we see. We're merely conforming to what we see going on around us. But when our minds are transformed, then we can change the world around us. We can bring the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job here on earth, is to bring the kingdom in faith. And so he does want to reward our faith. And so today we're looking at Bartimaeus, and he's a blind man. And he's at the city of Jericho by the road, and he hears that Jesus is in town. And when he hears this, he responds to it. He says, he's thinking, I think Jesus has something I need today. You know, how do we believe? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bartimaeus heard Jesus was there. And even though he didn't see him, he also heard about Jesus giving sight to other blind people. That he heard that he was cleansing lepers, that he was raising people from the dead, that he was healing the sick. He was doing all these things. He heard about it. And he heard that Jesus was there. And faith comes by hearing. He believed even before he saw him. And I think we all need to do more of that, don't we? To believe what we know about God in his word and acting on what we know to be true by his word. And then again, we can change our lives and the lives around us. So let's dig in. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We're going to be stopping often. It's not many verses, but there's so much here. It's such a few verses, but so much. So let's go. Verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. The word bar always means son of, so Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Timaeus' son means highly exalted, highly prized. But the root word means unclean or impure. And I'm thinking about that in a sense that, you know, all of us have come into the world in impure situations, right? We've all come from a past of some sort of wickedness in our lives. We've experienced it. We've committed it. We were all born into this world in impurity in a sense. But the Lord has redeemed us, and now we are highly prized. And so Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, has been living in this condition for so long, but his whole life is about to change. And you know, in those days, people who had sicknesses, especially if they're born with blindness, often they were seen as having a curse on their lives. Like, you know, what happened? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? In fact, in John chapter 9, if you can recall, in Jerusalem, when Jesus healed that guy in the temple, they asked Jesus, who sinned? I don't know if we have that verse. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know, in those days, if someone was born with a disformity or any kind of disability, it was seen, oh, there's a curse going on in the lineage of this person. And Jesus was breaking all the understanding of how people saw things. And so could you imagine being Bartimaeus sitting there for years begging as people went by the road, the dust kicking up, sometimes probably people stealing right out of his basket and out of his begging tray, stealing some of his money, and looking at him, judging him like, what happened to you that you ended up like this? You know, it was amazing. I came across this video of this believer. She's just a marvelous girl, and she said, her daughter was born with no eyes at all. And you hear her talk about how she knows God is going to do something amazing because of it. Like, in other words, the Lord is going to be glorified through this daughter of hers who has no eyes at all. It was just remarkable to me hearing her faith. And this little daughter now is only maybe 1 year old, but someday I believe we're going to see this woman be a catalyst for her generation because she has no eyes, you know? But anyway, so this man, Bartimaeus, could have seemed to be cursed, but we're going to see his whole life change today. And verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out, he called out, believing that Jesus had something for him today. And then the next verse, then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, the enemy uses all kinds of people to squelch our passion for him, doesn't he? You know, he wants to silence our praise. He wants to silence our pleas for help. He wants to silence us. That's what he loves to do, is to keep us quiet. He causes us to feel kind of stupid about like this reckless faith we might have in him. He wants to dim down what you're praising about. I love this verse in Psalm 8 verse 2, it actually says that the Lord has taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. He has taught children and infants. See, when they come out, you think they're crying. They're actually praising Jesus. You didn't realize that. See that? They already know. Remember John the Baptist? I love that. He's in the womb and that's him. That's the mother of Jesus in the room. Yeah, he already knew. You know, again, we really prayed to the Lord last week about the sanctity of life, but really, you know, this is so obvious in Scripture how significant the unborn are, you know? And so anyway, we're not going to go down that road again today, but we see this, that, you know, do you want to leave it to the infants and the fetuses in the womb to praise Jesus? Do you want to leave it to rocks to cry out? We should be the ones crying out to Jesus and praising him and hollering out, Lord, I need your help. I need mercy today. Come on, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. I need more mercy today, right? And that's what he wants us to be, praising him, and praising him. And I know I fall into a trap sometimes of conformity in a sense because, it's not the environment for that sort of thing. You know, I don't want to seem kooky, you know? But there's always room to honor God in every environment. It's so amazing. So all these examples popped into my head, but I want to keep moving. So anyway, so next verse. Verse 49. And so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Could you imagine Jesus standing still? Like, I love those verses about Jesus that really capture his humanity. Jesus wept. You know, Jesus had compassion. Well, here Jesus is walking along and he hears this distant cry, Son of David, have mercy on me. And this just plea. And he could hear the anguish in this voice. This is this guy's, perhaps his only hope. In fact, it will be. Jesus is going to leave Jericho and never go back there. This is, by the way, approaching the final week of his life. A whole third of Mark is dedicated to 7 days of Jesus' life, the last third of the book. It's all about the Passion Week, the triumphal entry we're going to look at next week. And so, you know, it seems like so much text because so much was happening in that last week. But this was, in a sense, his last chance. And Jesus heard in the far distance this voice just having, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. You know, he stops for faith. You know that? He stops in his tracks. He senses there's faith calling out to me. You know, this man had faith that he needed Jesus, and Jesus had what he needed. And he stopped in his tracks. I just think that's so significant. That, you know, nothing you pray to Jesus is too small. If you're being too saturated with your prayers, the Spirit will reveal that to you. You know, if you're always praying for things that aren't that important, you know, as you pray in the Spirit, he starts to say, all right, you can lop that one off. You know, let's move on, you know. But really, praying for others, it's so cleansing, isn't it? To keep track of our prayers and really just pray in the Spirit. I don't know if you pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. When you pray, just, Lord, I don't know what to pray about. Give me the ideas. What should I be praying for right now? He suddenly starts downloading all these images of the people you should be praying for. And suddenly the fact that you want to get off early that day isn't so important, you know? But he fills your heart and mind of what you should be praying for. And so Jesus stops in his tracks. You know, it's interesting. Shortly after this, he's going to be leaving Jericho for good on his way to Jerusalem. And you remember he's going to be walking down the road and he's suddenly going to stop in his tracks and look up and see a little man named Zacchaeus up in a tree. And he's going to say, Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to your house to eat today. Because he stops for faith. He sensed this little guy up there. He has so much wealth in his life, and yet he's so empty. And he needs me today. He stops for needs. You know, I want to be that kind of person, don't you? I want to be the type of person that stops where there's need. Not to be too busy to be moving on to the next thing. And I have a tendency to do that. Having blinders, I got this task I got to complete. And all of a sudden, someone needs you, and you're like, oh, ouchie. I almost got to the place I was going, and I have to stop. Jesus stopped because he sensed there was a vacuum that he could fill. And so as we read on, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Isn't it great the way he tells him, bring him over here. I love, you know, Jesus could have just walked over to him. But he commanded someone else to bring him over. Jesus loves to incorporate help. It's like it's empowering people to say, I want to use you to draw in someone to myself. You know, he's always done that. He's always said, you feed them. You walk on the water. You. He's like, you know, look, if you want to be like me, I'm giving you power and authority to do so. Do it. And so he's already empowering people. Go get that guy. Jesus could have walked over to him. Or he could have said, help him, let him find his way to me if he really needs me. But he sends someone. You know, we're all ambassadors, aren't we, of reconciliation? We're all to be used by Jesus to go and find the person who really needs help to bring them to Jesus. He's saying to all of us, be my messenger, be my ambassador, go bring them here. You know, we saw it when the Lord came to Peter and said, go to Cornelius's house. There's faith there that needs to be fulfilled. There's faith that needs to be made whole. There's a family there and a guy who's desperately seeking me, but he doesn't know the Son of God yet. Go and tell him. Go to his house and tell him. And you know, when they came to Joppa, they found Peter and they brought him back to Cornelius's house. And so he sent Paul to Cornelius. Remember, he sent Ananias to Saul when he was struck with blindness. Saul was on his way to Damascus. And he was looking for, you know, the way. The church, the early church was called the Way. What a great name for a church, the Way. I wanted to be called the Way, but what I heard is it became some sort of cult or something. The enemy always hijacks everything good, you know? But anyway, the Way, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, no man comes to the Father except through him. But anyway, he was going to persecute the Way, the church, and tie them up and bring them back to Jerusalem. And so he was on his way to Damascus, and you know the story. The Lord, suddenly a bright light shined around Saul, and he fell to the ground. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "You can't kick against the goad. Stop kicking against me. Don't mess with me, Saul. You're messing with the wrong person." And then he goes, "Well, what must I do?" "Go to Damascus and wait, and I'm sending a messenger to you." And so for 3 days, he sat there in blindness. The Lord made him blind so that he would truly see. And as he sat there for 3 days waiting, the Lord sent Ananias to Saul. Why didn't God just tell him himself? He was already talking to him, right? But he included Ananias. You know, the Lord doesn't need any one of us. He doesn't need us. But he chooses to include you to be his messenger, to empower you with power and authority. Because when you serve God, you are revitalized within you. And the Spirit rises up in you and says, "You know, I can do this because of the power of God who lives in me." And so the Lord says, "Go get blind Bartimaeus." And so they went to him. And when they went to him, they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. You know, he had this cloak on that was probably filled with dirt. He's on the roadside. You know, those roadsides have always been dirty, right? That's where everybody travels. Nothing grows on roads. And so the roads, when it rains, they're getting muddy. And when it gets real dry, they're kicking up the dust. No matter how you look at it, it's dirt. And then there he is on the side of the road begging. Can you imagine how filthy that robe was? Day after day after day after day. You know, he probably never washed it. And there he was just waiting for money. But when he heard Jesus call him, he threw off his coat. You know, I see that as just a picture of throwing off the dust of disappointment, throwing off the dust of being content in condemnation, being content in misery, being content with being disappointed in life. He had this coat on that was sucking in all the dirt of the road and people judging him, people passing him by, people stealing from him, people doing whatever they were to him, but certainly not showing him great love. And what did he do? He threw off his coat. "I am going to see the Savior. I don't want to wear this dirt when I go to see the Savior." And he threw off his dirt. You know, I think a lot of us, you know, we come to Jesus sometimes with all these preconceived judgments about him. "Well, you know, I was abused as a child. I had a horrible father. I had a horrible mother. I had this, I had that, I had the other thing." And we bring that to God and just kind of say, "Now, what are you going to do about that?" Instead of just saying, "Lord, I got nothing. Everything I need is in you. I am throwing off the dirt of my disappointment, the dirt of all the way the life has been kicking up its dust and dirt on me, and I am coming to you." That's why he told the disciples, "When you leave the town, shake off the dust of that city. Don't let the dirt of disappointment and unbelief cling to you," you know? And so he threw off his coat and he went to Jesus. And verse 51, and so Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Isn't that funny? He asked the obvious. Why do you think Jesus often asked people the obvious? Like, he already knew the answer, and yet he asked. You know, why do you think that is? You know, I believe the Lord wants to hear us say our prayers. In fact, we even sang in that song, he knows what we need before we even ask him, right? Well, then why ask him? Remember when Elijah ran out to the wilderness and, you know, and he ran up to the cave and, you know, and God says, what are you doing here? I mean, like, can you imagine? 40 days I came here, you didn't know I was coming? Well, of course he did. An angel fed him, he gave him some water, and, you know, he knew he was coming, but he wanted Elijah. All right, it's time. Go ahead and vent, Elijah. And he went off. I'm the only one alive. You know, complaining, kicking and screaming, you know, at God, basically. But he wants us to verbalize what we need so that when we receive it, we remember that he gave it to us. You know, if we don't pray, I believe, with not only persistence, but also with precision. When we receive what we ask for, we forget that he ever gave it to us. Like, I'll just give you a quick little example. I remember when I got into swimming one time about 15, I'm not anymore, but 15 years ago, I joined the Y, and I started swimming in the pool, and I was always amazed, how do these people swim so long? I mean, I would swim 2 laps and be out of breath. But I finally learned the breathing technique. Once you get that down, it's okay. So anyway, I would start swimming, and then I could just go on and on and on and on. And I'll never forget, like, this is so boring. I'm underwater swimming for 45 minutes. But I just started praying, and I'll never forget praying back and forth, watching that black line bored out of my head. But as I was praying, I remember some prayers that when they came to fruition, I remember the black line, you know? I remember praying that our kids would meet godly spouses, that they would just find the perfect match for them. And that was always part of the black line prayer, you know? And praise God, 2 out of 4 so far have amazing spouses. Our daughter-in-laws are just amazing women, and they're just so perfect for our sons. And we're 50% there. But, you know, I remember because the black line prayers. Do you know what I mean? Because I remember being very specific. I think it's great when we make a monument to our prayers. Just say, I'm praying for this, and I'm going to identify it with something that I can remember. So when it happens, I can go back and say, I know God did this because of that black line, or whatever that monument you want to build, you know? I remember another time that our dog fell off the deck. It was a baby, it was a puppy. And, you know, I like animals, but I'm, you know, people are better. I'm just saying, right? So, you know, I'm not a real animal, you know, whatever. But sorry, you animal rights people. But, you know, they're animals, okay? I was kidding. Yes, the other day I said, you know, I think if I was hungry enough, I'd throw my little doggy on a bun and go to town. Grill her up. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't think she tastes too good at this point. But anyway, but I remember our doggy fell off the, and we just put down another dog because it got attacked in the woods. So anyway, our dog fell off the deck. And I'm sorry if you heard this before, but so anyway, I said, so we bring the dog to the doctor. Oh, the elbow shattered, $3,500 or whatever. I'm like, what? Like, no, I'm just sorry. No way. No. And then you look at your daughter and, oh gosh. So I'm like, you know, I just can't do it. I just can't. And I say, so what if we put a cast on her? Well, she'll never walk right again. But, you know, you can do that, you know, and, you know, but you might have to cut off the leg. And I'm like, well, there's lots of dogs that go around with 3 legs. That's okay, too, you know. So I said, but I just can't do that. I can't spend all that money on a little dog, right? And so anyway, so, you know, we prayed about it. And the first thing that came to my mind was, just think what God could do with that money, right? I'm like, well, then put your money where your mouth is. So I said, put the cast on, okay? And we'll give the difference to a ministry. And so there was a mission that we put money towards, and we said, that's what we're going to do with the difference between the cast and what you want for this elbow. So anyway, we prayed about it. I'm telling you, we took that cast off. That dog couldn't run fast enough around the entire dining room, up on the couch, gliding all over the place. It was just amazing. I'm like, there you go, you know? But it's like a monument. It's a monument. Like, we prayed and we sanctified that moment with conviction. This is what I'm going to do. We even did it another time, you know, having to do with my business, and it was fined over something really silly in Jersey, and it was going to be like $8,000. $8,000. And I'm like, come on. I said, you know what, Lord? All right, this is your money. I'm going to try to negotiate. You get the difference. And he chiseled it all the way down to about $2,000. He did. And I'm like, and I always remember this is what, because, you know, I marked it. You know, we need to mark things in our lives, like, and consecrate that, like, pray with precision and say, Lord, when this happens, this is, I'm going to remember you did it, you know? Remember when Jacob was going off to be with Laban and Laban, whatever you want to call him, right? But he was leaving because his brother Esau wanted to kill him. And so he was coming to a place, which was later called Bethel, and he laid down for the night and put his head on a rock. And as he was laying there, this ladder came down from the sky and rested. And the angels ascended and descended upon this. And the Lord spoke to him, saying, I am going to be with you and I am going to bring you back to this land. And so when Jacob woke up, he said, surely this is the place of the Lord. He named it House of the Lord, Bethel. And he anointed this pillar of a rock with oil. And he said, when I come back, this is going to be the house of the Lord. And he remembered it. And so he went on, and you know the story of Jacob. He came back with the whole family. He met with Esau, and the Lord blessed that whole engagement. And Esau led him through. And then when Jacob crossed over, he didn't go back to Bethel. He went to another place called Shittim, I think it was called. Anyway, while he was there, something horrific happened. We don't have time to get into it. And then after that horrific thing happened, the Lord said, will you go back to Bethel? You said when you come back, you're going to come back to Bethel. Come back. But then when he came back, he said, now I'm where I'm meant to be. But the point is, he said, if you bring me back to this place, you will be my God. He made a prayer. He says, if you will really deliver me from anything wrong and really provide for me and my family, you will be my God. And that rock was the pillar, was the symbol. So I say this because all of us, when we pray, we should pray with not only persistence, but I think you should mark it with something. You know, really save something, something to symbolize that you prayed for, especially that big thing in your life. But anyway, let's move on. And so the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, that I may receive my sight. And then Matthew tells us that he touched his eyes. And then Jesus said to him, go your way, for your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You know what's funny? He said, go your way, and his way was God's way. I have a little, if you could put up that slide, Rebecca, it's just a reminder of God's way, my way. You know, how about that song? I did it my way. Wouldn't you rather sing, I did it God's way? Wouldn't you? But so a lot of times we go our way and it's so wide and open. It's how everybody's going. But all of a sudden the Lord wants you to take an exit. And you're like, now things are going so good. Take the exit. Go his way, because he's leading you somewhere so much greater, so much better. He's leading you to where you're going to live the most abundant life. And this blind man was wise enough to say, if I can see, I'm following him. There's an old legend about a slave girl who Abraham Lincoln purchased. And then when she was set free, when she came with him, she was very timid and afraid because assuming the worst is going to happen, she didn't know this super tall, ganky, long-bearded guy. And she's like, and he said, you're free to go. And she said, you mean free to go anywhere I want? Yeah, you're free to go. You mean I'm free to do anything I want to do? Yeah, you're free. You mean I'm free to say anything I want to say? Yes, you are free. And to go anywhere I want to go? Yes. Then I'm going with you. You know, all of us have to be under the understanding that when he sets us free, when he gives us true sight, there's only one place we want to go, and that's with Jesus, because he's leading us to an abundance and to thrive, so our lives, not just to survive, but thrive in this life. Amen? And so he says, your faith has made you well. And I love that line. Because, you know, so many people cut a little, ooh, your faith has made you well. Do you know how precious your faith is? It's powerful. It's how heaven comes down. It's how you use the things of heaven on earth. It's faith. Everything is done through faith. It's how we overcome in this world, through our faith. Your faith is so powerful. Your faith has made you well. You know, the word well means whole, sozo. It means complete. And this word, he said this to three other people in Scripture. He said it one time to a woman who was following him outside the crowds. And it was just, he was just completely pressed in upon everywhere he went. It was just like this massive pack of people, right? And they're all following him. And this woman said, if I could just reach him, if I could just touch a piece of his clothes, I'm going to be set free. This bleeding for 12 years. I'm not even holding my life in anymore. I am just, all her life was bleeding out of her. You ever feel like that? Like you got to stop the bleeding in life. If anything more happens in this life, I just can't handle it anymore. I just got to stop the bleeding. And she said, I have to reach her. And we talked about her in depth before, so we're not going to get too much in her. But so she just pressed in somehow. She probably had to crawl on the ground. She didn't only do a walk of faith, she did a crawl of faith. To reach him, she had to get through that crowd just to cling on his cloak. And as soon as he felt it, the hem of his garment, he's like, somebody just touched me. Who just touched me? The power went out of him. The power went out. And I believe, actually, he knew who touched her. Of course he did. But she finally just said, I just wanted to touch you. Your faith has made you well. The other time where the 10 lepers were just calling out, Son of God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, the 10 lepers. And he said, without saying anything else, go show yourself to the high priest. And so in faith, they turned around and started doing a walk of faith towards the high priest. And as they walked, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, wow, my eyelids are back on. I didn't have them a little bit ago. I have toes. I have fingers. They were decaying, right on the. And suddenly, there's life going back through their fingers, their digits, everything, and they're moving. Like, wow, this is amazing. But they kept going. One stop, the Samaritan said, "You know what? I think there's more where that came from. I'm cleansed physically. I want to be cleansed in my soul. I want to be made whole. I want to be sozo. I want to be so good. I want wholeness." And he went all the way back to Jesus. And Jesus, isn't anyone else there? Weren't 10 cleansed? But only you, a Samaritan, not even a child of Israel. Your faith has made you well. And then this man, Bartimaeus, your faith has made you well. He wants us to know that our faith can make us well. You know that? This happened in Jericho. And Jericho, as you know, was the city, the first city that the Israelites conquered. And when they crossed over, the Lord told them to do the most strange military campaign ever in history. All right, you're going to march around the city. Like, does that make any military sense? I believe the whole thing was a scheme of God to prove that it wasn't by their strength or their might, or their power, it was by the Spirit of God that they would defeat the promised land. That was their land they were going to occupy. And he wanted to prove to them it wasn't up to them. It wasn't their military strength. It wasn't their skill. It wasn't anything. It was him. And so what did he do? He said, march around the city one time for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, do something even more stranger. I mean, there's probably people out there eating popcorn saying, I wonder what these people are doing. No, they're actually very afraid because they heard about the pillar of fire, the other kings that they took out, and the manna falling from it. They were afraid of the Israelites. But they, could you imagine? They're like, why are they circling? Like, what are they doing? And they left. That's day one. Day two, day three. Like, this is weird. Like, when are they going to actually do something? And then on the seventh day, seven times around, and then they shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. This was the city this took place in 1,400 years earlier in Jericho. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, a walk of faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. It took Israelites walking by faith seven times and the other 6 days to bring the walls down. Wasn't that a walk of faith? Walking around a city saying, why are we doing this again? Well, I guess Joshua knows what he's doing because he's walking ahead of us. We're going to follow him. But could you imagine that walk of faith? But then the walls came tumbling down. The reason I bring this up is because I believe in this life, if we want to truly live the promised life, you know, he says, I'm bringing you to, he brought the Israelites to a land flowing with milk and honey. I think the same is true for believers in Jesus Christ. He's leading us to the promise and the yes and amen of a promised life filled with flowing with milk and honey, a fat and sweet life. That's what he promises us. But before we get in there, we have to break down some walls. And I believe many of us have built up walls between us and God that we don't believe can come down. But we have to do a walk of faith and just believe he's going to tear down these walls of past disappointment in life, of past abuse, of past failures, of past sin, whatever it is that has built walls between us and God. He wants to tear them down. And he wants us to do a walk of faith. So today, we're going to do something a little different. I just want to show up this last slide. We looked at Bartimaeus, and if you look at what he did, I would like us as a church to do it today. And what did he do? He heard. He heard Jesus was in town. You know, the word says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like you did in the day of your rebellion. Don't harden your hearts. If you hear him talking to you this morning, he's telling you if you truly want to be set free or healed or delivered from this situation you're in today, whatever it is, do you hear him talking to you today and saying, I want to deliver you from this? Are you hearing him? Do you believe he's there? Do you believe what he's done for others in your situation? Do you believe that he has the power over all things? He holds all things together. Do you believe that he wants to do that today? That's what Bartimaeus did. He heard. And what did he do next? He believed. Faith comes by hearing. He believed. Do you believe God can do this for you? Whatever it is in your life. Whatever it is. The next thing Bartimaeus did is he cried out. Are you willing to just, you know, risk your reputation and cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want it. I need it to be more like you. I can't go without it. I need it. The next thing he did is he ignored the voices of doubt and discouragement. Remember, these people said, you got to be quiet. Quiet down. You know what they said to the children? Don't go. He doesn't have time for you. Yes, I do. You know, he always had time for everyone. And if you're hearing a voice in your head that says, you're not worth it, you know, you've messed up too much in your life. You can't get mercy like that. You've already been rejected so many times. You know, whatever the voices are telling you to be quiet, I say scream louder. If the babies can do it, if the rocks can do it, We need to do it, right? We need to cry out and say, I need you, Lord. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, we need you all the time, every time, always. What else did he do? He threw off the dusty disappointment of that robe and he got up and he walked and he pled and said, Lord, I need to see you. And the Lord gave him sight and he followed Jesus. So today we're going to do something a little different. I know we have an extra little obstacle up here, but I'm going to ask all of us as the band comes forward, you know, I think we need to do a walk of faith today in here. And we don't do many altar calls, very rarely, and we certainly don't do it for the whole church. But the Lord just gave me a vision that we need to commit to being different this year, to being set free of whatever the walls that have been blocking us from true freedom. We want to stop the hemorrhaging and the bleeding of our lives, don't we? I don't want any more life to be bled out of me. You know, I want to keep the blood of Jesus flowing through me, don't you? And you know, and the leper, I'm not satisfied with being partially healed. I want the whole thing. I want sozo in my life. I want to be complete. I want great gain today. Do you want great gain? I want great gain. I want to see Jesus and I want to follow Jesus. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to ask everyone to stand up and pile down towards this stage. You can come up on the stage. We're going to get together and we're going to meet Jesus today. Because you know, wherever he went, there were swarms of people. And do you believe Jesus is here today? I know he is, right? I know he is, and I know it's going to be tough. If someone can't walk down these steps, you can stand, and if someone wants to stay with them, but let's just pack in this place. And I just picture all of us huddled up, crammed together to meet Jesus. And just like that woman crawling between the crowds just to touch the hem of his robe, we're going to meet Jesus here as one crowd. If anyone wants to come up, we can just all pile up. We're all the same here before Jesus. And we're just going to reach out to him and we're going to cling to his robe today and say, Lord, I want a new life. I want great gain. Do you want great gain? Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, we need more people up here.
Yes.
Come on up. Why don't we start the music as we're pouring in? Come on, keep coming up. And you guys want to come up? So, Lord, we all need something here. Lord, we are just humbled and just begging for something powerful to happen, Lord God. Whatever it is we need from you today, Lord God, have mercy on us, Lord. And pour out your grace. We're vessels of mercy, Lord God. And you want to pour on us the riches of your glory, Lord God. Fill your glory in us, Lord God, and purge us of anything that's blocking. Lord, we ask you, Jesus, to just anoint us today, Lord God, with your supernatural life. Why don't we just all call out loud and whatever you're asking the Lord for today, Lord God, we just ask you, Lord God.